Hello and via live. My name is Christian. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. And I know I say this at every episode, but today we have somebody really, really special. Not special just from what she does, because I think everybody needs one of her in your back pocket. Let's get started. Hello again. I'm Christian. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show, and I'm really excited to have Miss Martine with me today. And I'm super excited because of a few reasons. Number one, I met her through a friend of mine. If you guys haven't seen JD, Canada's Restaurants Guy, you guys need to check him out. For me, he is the Howard Stern of the food industry. He does some really amazing work. And through him, I met our special guest today, because we all need somebody like her who works with our industry around mental toughness, which is, I think, super, super important. She also supports the restaurant and hospitality industry with all her other experience. And we're going to learn a little bit more of all the amazing things she does. But she is an industry thought leader. She has, you guys can see, she's in amazing physical shape. She's really amazing from a mindset perspective. And the reason I'm saying this, that we all need somebody like this, because we all need somebody who sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. And as chefs, we do not do a very good job in taking care of her, of ourselves. So we need somebody like Martin. So with that, Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I was looking forward to this for a very long time. And so truth be told, I was on a show with JD, Canada's Restaurant Guy. She commented on our show. And for me, if somebody says, I'm taking notes, I'm already interested, because I think we all need to take more notes. I'm a big believer of a life is worth living. It's worth recording. And as I started digging a little bit deeper on who she is, we need not one, everybody needs two of her. But it's just really amazing for me to see, because before we started here, we had a little bit of conversation about a friend of mine who has some physical challenge being in the culinary industry. And I think if he would have met her a little bit earlier, he would be in a total different spot. So with that, Martine, give everybody a quick 5-minute cliff note on who you are.
Awesome. So for all of the chefs out there and everyone else who are watching, background psychology, bachelor in psychology, master in counseling, bringing all of this into the restaurant industry is so, so, so needed. But also athletic-wise, so national, international track and field as well. So the athletic part, and this is not only the competitive side, but really the mental side and how to get, you know, yourself ready if you're competing. And because you guys, the chef and everyone else who are watching, you guys are athletes. So because you're athletes, right? No, honestly, and maybe physically you may not be there yet, you know, some of you may not, but like still mentally and emotionally, you have to be there at some point. And then the role is for me to help you to level up to a higher level emotionally and psychologically, physically as well if needed.
I absolutely love that. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey and what led to you to become that life captivator, mental toughness specialist, and especially for the restaurant industry?
Yes. And because the restaurant industry, honestly, I really see it as a sport, right? Not a sprint, because it's not a sprint, but really it's a hard sport, and day in and day out, you have to perform. And just like if you are racing, or if you're playing football or soccer or basketball, if you make a mistake, you're not able to dwell on it forever. Mm-hmm. You actually have to go in, mistake has been done. Okay, we're moving on, right? The life captivated part came from, you don't have to love every single part of your life journey of the restaurant industry. You don't have to love every single thing. And I think it will be actually very difficult to love every single thing, but you know what you can do? You can appreciate every single thing. And that, when you're able to use that, the appreciation in all the angles, it makes you see your journey as a chef way more different than if you attempting to, I was almost like to say, swim against the flow, right? The willpower. Yep. So when people attempt to have that willpower means that you're doing something that you don't want to do it, you know? And then, but when you're able to still appreciate the hardship, and sometimes it takes a while, because when you face hardship, you do a mistake, You don't be like, hey, I'm appreciating this mistake right now. not right now, right? But as you're learning and as you've been coached, then you start to really realize, okay, you know what? It was not that bad. No, it was not that bad. And the thing is, you're still alive. You're still standing there, breathing just fine, right? And then you're moving on. So that's where that life captivity really came about. Mm-hmm. And the mental toughness is from that sport mindset, really that sport mindset of you have to work. No matter what, no matter which generation that you are, you have to put in some work. You were about to say something?
No, you're spot on. For me, show over. You said it all because it's so true. It's so true. And that's why I absolutely love you and I love what you do, because our industry, looking at what happened through COVID and not just the monumental and the money part, which was really tough for a lot of chefs, is because we are not good in taking care. Even though we care for others, we do not do a good job in caring for ourselves. And we also, I call it a drive, we're really not good in asking for help. So for me, I'm so fascinated on how you became who you are today. And where did this start with you? Is it from your parents? Where did that drive for that mental toughness come from?
Yes, I think I'm going to share a personal story.
Yeah.
A story. So I'm from Haiti, so I'm Haitian, right? Mm-hmm. Was adopted at 7 months by Caucasian parents, all the way from Quebec, Canada. So my beautiful accent, French Canadian. So the living, you know, living as a Black person into white family, white friends, white everything, you know, was not necessarily the easiest yep. thing, right? And also not knowing my family. But back in Haiti, I don't know nobody. So you mix that with, you know, years of, maybe I will say attempting to finding yourself, but also knowing not to give up, right? Knowing mm-hmm. that all of these are obstacles that I have to eventually overcome, right? If I want to be the best version of myself, want to go in and help other people, now helping chefs and helping other people in the industry, you got to figure it out, right? So that's why that mental toughness, I will say, I've always been within me. I actually will like to say that. And with seeing it, how it is important within the not the fitness industry, but within the restaurant industry, it is such a pleasure to be able to service the chef and service other people like your audience to really help them see it, because it's really important. And again, you guys, you are mentally tough. Like if there are level, you are mentally tough. You're not able to not be in the restaurant industry and not be mentally tough. You're not able to. You're gonna be crushed like this, mm-hmm. honestly. But those who are able to stay there, like the longevity, are the one who are going to be able, will either are going to be able or are already doing it right now, but who are going to be able to work with that mental toughness and that part of the life, you know, captivating life in regards of all of these appreciation of all of these moments, they are going to have longevity. If not, then they are honestly struggling mm-hmm. a lot. And they are the ones who may get out of business after 3 years, you know, and not just because of the financial part, because obviously that comes with it. But the thing is, if you're not able to take care of yourself, right? And how can you truly take care of others? It's a cliche. I know it's a cliche, and you maybe even learn this in school, but no, it's actually very true. And a lot of people who are in the service industry, they, of course, they want to help other people. So they put everyone, literally everybody, before them, and then they are the one who are depleted at the end of the day. They have no energy left, and they're kind of like, oh my gosh, you know, and they are getting more overwhelmed and more mm-hmm. more stress, you know, and all of these things. So it's to be able to service them.
I so connect with everything you just said. You know, first off, thanks a lot for sharing your personal story, because for me it's actually very touching, because all my children are adopted internationally. And for me, you know, they not white, you know, my kids are all from China. And I always felt, and we adopted them as they were older, is they really never had a choice. You know, they didn't have a choice that their parents abandoned them. They didn't have a choice in what orphanage they were. They didn't have a choice that these people, which come look different, sound different, smell different, and have different eating habits, come and put them on a plane. They had no choice for them, you know, foster come. So for me, just the whole idea of that adoption, that that could become a driving force. I so connect with that because for me, my kids are my biggest inspiration. And we have a program we created around that. And you said something else, what I really connected with, because for me, I have my little thing and I have it always laying here in front of me. It's progress over perfection. And for me, I seen it with so many of my friends, they give up. And if you want to call it mental toughness, whatever, they give up because they feel they have no other options. And for me at the time, back in 2011, we created a nonprofit called the Culinary Leadership Academy. And what we're doing is we teach chefs leadership skills. And for me, leadership skills start with self-leadership. If I can't manage myself to get out of bed in the morning, if I can't manage myself not to drink six packs because I think that's normal the end of the night, how am I going to manage a team? And there's a few things you said. I so connect with that because I think we need more of that in the industry because it is okay to say, hey, I need help here. I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to drink 3 bottles of whiskey before I go home. I just need help. And for me, having that background as an adoptee, by the way, I absolutely admire that, is I just think it kind of sets you up for that. So it's just really super powerful. Thanks for sharing that. And for me, where do you feel some of the common physical, emotional, and psychological challenges which currently restaurateurs face, where do they come from around restaurant owners and chefs?
I'm going to start with the emotional one. The emotional one comes from not being able to, not having the ability to speak with others. Mm-hmm. So whether it's because they are ashamed to say that they are struggling, whether it's because they don't know how to, yeah, how to say it, like whatever it is, the reason, this is one of the things, like they're not talking to other people. And like you said, they're not raising their hand and say, I'm struggling here. Like, can you help mm-hmm. me? You know, which can oftentimes comes from, you know, how the restaurant industry was, you know, way back, right? Now, of course, things are gradually, slowly changing. Psychologically, what you see a lot, two things. One is people, and I've heard Jason E. Brooks as well, mm-hmm. Mentioned that is, and is the truth. People, they feel that they can do it all, right? So, yeah. And it's very interesting. And the chef may not necessarily think that, right? They may be more, I can only cook, and this is what is funny, I can only cook and I'm not really able to do anything else. So they may think that, while the restaurant owner or the operators are like, I have to do it all by myself, and I have to cook and I have to serve and I have to sweep and I have to do all of these things. And it's just, no, you have to be able to ask for help. And then the other one is knowing it all. Mm-hmm. And you see that especially with people who've been around for a long time. So it's not because that you've been in the restaurant industry for 20 years that you're not able to learn new yep. things, right? There's always new generation coming. There's always literally always new things now with the technology and all of these things. So you're not able to just be like, well, you know, I've been around for 25 years now. I know it all. Excuse me. No, that's not how it works, you know? So that's the part. And then in regards of the physical, it is a physical job, right? A physical career. Mm-hmm. You are standing for a long period of time. So when you are 15 to 25 and maybe even 50 pounds overweight, some are more in more extreme cases, yeah. but it's usually between 15 to 50 pounds overweight. Well, after a while and standing like this here, and even if you're walking, because some people are like, yeah, but Martine, you know, I'm very active. Of course, you are in the restaurant industry. So you do move and you go up mm-hmm. and down and you're lifting things. Your body's going to get used to doing that. So at first, yep. if you've never moved of your life and you're just going into the restaurant industry, you're probably going to drop a few pounds because you're moving everywhere. But once you've been around for a long time, this is just part of your day now. To do 10,000 steps, for example, right? It's mm-hmm. only part of your day. So now it's how can you take care of yourself so that you don't start to break down because you're 15 to 50 pounds overweight and because you do have to walk 10,000 steps, you know, throughout the day or whatever that is, right? So mm-hmm. these are the breakdown of those three categories.
I so connect with that. And by the way, I have a page of notes, okay? And I also like what you said about the whole technology. I honestly feel we so over connected, but yet underrelated. And I think that has also a part for us to saying, hey, it's perceived as a weakness to ask the question. But I'm more interested now to go a little deeper. So how do you define mental toughness and why is it crucial to success? And especially crucial for success in the hospitality industry?
Good, very good question, Christian. So basically mental toughness is really the ability for you to adapt or not be shaken up when things occur, right? Mm-hmm. So because of the restaurant industry, and it's always something that happens, it's always something that happens, it can be extremely easy to be like, oh my gosh, I received my 50,000 text message today, or you know, you're there, you're the chef and you are cooking and then someone is yelling to you and then you're not cooking fast enough, or I don't know, you know, those type of things. It's really easy to get shook mm-hmm. And I almost want to say lose your balance, and not lose your balance physically, but lose your balance emotionally and psychologically. So to be able to recenter yourself, that's really what needs to happen. To be able to recenter yourself, this is the mental toughness. And the mm-hmm. fastest that you're able to recenter yourself, the fastest that you are able to continue to grow in that direction and not be, and I'm going to say the word shaken up, but you're not as much shaken up. And again, there's going to be a situation where things are going to be really big and it's really gonna hit you, right? And you may need a day or two even sometimes to emotionally recuperate. These are going to happen. But if the more that you train yourself, then you're just becoming better at handling those circumstances or situations.
I so love that. So how do you... Or what strategies, let's spin it differently. What strategies do you recommend? Because you've seen a lot of chefs, restaurateurs, operators struggle. So what strategies do you recommend for our industry for them to maintain just that emotional well-being amongst, you know, high pressures in the industry, and then also the, you know, kind of self-inflicted pressure?
Yes, I think from the top of my head right now, I'm going to say three that are honestly essential. Okay. Journaling. And we're going back because I know people mm-hmm. are all on their phone and stuff like this, but no, journaling without your cell phone, like literally, you know, in a book and you're writing down, and you don't have to journal for days and days and days. It doesn't have to be like that, but literally to be cognizant, right? To recognize your own thoughts. And if it's a day that you finish, it's 10 PM, you go back home, and you're exhausted, or maybe even before you go home, you're in the car and you're like, I'm so exhausted. You can open that journal, be like, I am so exhausted today. Like flat out, just writing it down. And maybe two or three PowerPoint of what do you think have led you to be so mm-hmm. exhausted today versus the other day, right? So the journaling is definitely a big part. One is it's a tree. So if you don't have to be a great artist in terms of that, but imagine a tree with a mm-hmm. trunk and then a couple of branches. In your trunk, you write down 1 to 3 core values, your core values. So you're a chef right now and you're like, okay, what are my core values? Even if I ask you, Christian, what are your core values, right? 1 to 3, you put mm-hmm. them down. Then on the branches, you want to write down something, one or three things too. It doesn't have to be long, like no more than one sentence of what you would like to work on. So if your core value is integrity, for example, integrity mm-hmm. is one of your core values. Okay, on one of the branch, what can you work on that is going to help you for your integrity and what mm-hmm. you're gonna work on that week? So the branches are one branch per week. So let's say you have 7 branches. Yep. So then, okay, this week, what can I work on? And it can be one thing, it can be a whole sentence that's gonna help me for my, to work on my integrity this week when I'm gonna go to the kitchen, right? So. In the morning, before you go to before you go to work, it can be in your car, like just to be able to see it, right? Because again, oftentimes what you don't see is out of mind. So for you to be able to see it and be like, you know what, I'm going to work on that. And it's a reminder because again, your days in the restaurant industry, your days go quickly. So if you're not able to remind yourself what are your core values, sometimes you get lost. You get lost and you mm-hmm. do things and you say things that are not really you. And when you're able to, again, to recenter, so you will go in that trunk and be able to recenter there and be like, okay, it's kind of your moment of your Zen moment, you know, and you don't have to be like, oh, you know, you don't have to do that. But it's really kind of your Zen moment that helps you to refocus and be like, okay, I'm going to be working on that this week. And then my other one, I also go with the journaling, but it will be when you wake up. When you wake up, you write down one or three. And three is my favorite number. There's three.
I love three. Three is a great number.
Yeah, perfect. One to three words that you feel that you want to work through throughout the day. So, for example, for me today, it was smiling and relationship. Actually, I wrote down two today, this morning. So when I'm going to go to sleep tonight, I'm going to reflect. Have I smiled? Have I had good relationship? And very easy. I don't have to spend 10,000 hours on that, right? But again, it puts you in terms of like, I've said I'm going to do those two things. The whole day passed. Did I feel that I did it? Or mm-hmm. was that a day that, oh no, I did not smile whatsoever. I was upset at the whole world. And then that was it, right? So those are very, honestly, minor things. But when you take the time to reflect on each of them, really can help you to become a better chef and have better relationship with, you know, the servers and all the people around you.
I again, show over, because the things what you just mentioned is what we need to do more of. And for me, it's funny, you know, how many things kind of come up for me. I actually have mine up here. My thing for the day was be remarkable. So that was my thing for the day. I want to leave people not just better the way I found them. I want to be not just good or great. I want to be remarkable, because I think people remember this differently. And for me, you have that innate ability to make it sound so simple. So, you know, writing it down, doing a journaling, doing a tree trunk. By the way, love that exercise of the tree trunks and with the three words. So how about if a chef does the three words and then they forget about it? And at the end of the night, they go home and say, I'm such a loser. I can't even do three simple words. What do you have to say to somebody if they feel like that?
They will. More than likely is going to happen. They're going to feel as such. And it's going to be like this. Okay, take your journal. Tell me something that was good. You forget those three words. Cool. But what did you do? Maybe you cooked this crazy, insane meal that people in the restaurant were like, oh my gosh, please say thank you for this, chef. That was mm-hmm. awesome. Right? So it's like in a relationship. They always say, don't go to sleep, like, you know, barking at one another, you know, like can basically make peace. You kind of want to attempt to do that to the best of your ability, to kind of make peace with yourself. You may have had the worst day. You may have forgotten to do some of your homework, right? And things like this. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you have to end your day like that. It doesn't mean that at all. You can put one thing that you feel that you've done good and then attempt tomorrow, right? You I guess you don't always have tomorrow, but you have more than likely another shot to be better, right? And the thing mm-hmm. is this, again, it's always, so if you have a ladder, you attempt to go up the ladder every day, but sometimes you're going to miss a step and sometimes you're going to fall all the way back at the bottom, but it's okay. You are going to fall. And I think that's definitely one of the things working in the restaurant industry to help people understand you're going to fall. You're going to fail. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. And the faster that you can actually understand that you're going to fall and you're going to fail, the better we can actually move on and do something great. But if you really stuck on, oh no, not me, I'm never going to fall. And no, not me, I'm never going to fail. Then you already fell. You yep, know, you're yep, already yep. behind. You're already behind 10 meters.
That's just awesome. And there's just so much value in the things you said. So if anybody is just listening to this episode, my name is Christian Fisher. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. And I have Miss Martine with me today. And she is a life captivator and mental toughness coach. And she specializes in the industry. So if you haven't done so, make sure you bookmark this so you can find her. And if you haven't done so, please reach out to her, because she should be in everybody's kitchen's back door, because we all need it and we can't do it alone. So with that whole mentality that we can't do it alone, how can a restaurant leader cultivate that supportive environment, not just with their team's mental health, but for them collective as a group?
But it starts with them. It honestly mm-hmm. starts with them. So the restaurant owner or the operator needs to want to do that for themselves first. If they're not willing to, the ship is going to fail. eventually. Yeah. I mean, there's going to be 1 year, who knows, right? And it's going to be all disrupted, you know, all confusing. But once they decide to be like, you know what, I do need to be mentally tougher. I do need to find ways to communicate better with my team. I am not the best at communicating with my chef. Okay, then let's go. You know, you have to go in and find your ways. And once you're able to, or once that restaurant owner or the operator embarked, then it's way easier to lead the team, whether it's the chef, whether it's the rest of the team, to lead them towards that vision that you have. Because it's all started with that. Like, the chef goes in, he or she has their own vision, their boss, right? The restaurant owner has their own vision. But if the vision don't work, you know, together, then we're having kind of a messy situation. So for all of them to be able to be on that same page and understanding the vision with one another, that's going to help. And even for the chef to be able to understand that he or she, they are way more than just a chef, you know? And sometimes I think that I'm just a chef. No, you are actually quite important, you know, without you, nothing's going to happen. Even if that restaurant owner can supposedly do it all, right? So it's just like, no, you are actually a very important piece of this whole puzzle. So it's to, you know, helping those chefs to bring back the confidence, and not that they, you know, not that as a chef, you are lacking confidence per se, because you may be very confident in the dishes and the things that you are constructing, but in regards of what you are able to achieve, even outside of your chefery, of your expertise, you need sometimes this boost, right, to help you achieve that.
I so connect with that. And hold on, I'm running out of space.
Next page.
Yeah, I'm on page. Next page. So, with the chefs and the restaurant professionals, owners you have worked with in your experience, how do you feel how important this mindset in overcoming not just setbacks and adversity, but kind of resetting it oneself? Because for me in the industry, I see that setbacks sometimes, you know, are more mental than physical or monetary. And also when there is something coming up, sometimes chefs are so hard on themselves and they don't feel they have that drive to kind of reset oneself. So how do you feel from your perspective, how or what role does mindset play in overcoming setbacks and adversity in the restaurant industry?
It's everything, honestly. So the thing is, without it, you're behind. So if it's a race, you're starting behind. Everyone else is there and you're just there. You haven't even started yet. So for you as a chef to be able to, I think it's like you have to get out a little bit sometimes of yourself. So again, you're describing yourself as a chef, that's cool, but you're still a human being, right? You still have your own vision, your own dreams, your own way that you want to do things. And when you are able to utilize that mindset and reset it, because sometimes you're going to have setbacks, sometimes you're going to have great things also to happen. And sometimes all of this is going to be kind of blurry, and you do have to reset. You do have to press on the button, or a physical button. That's not a real button, but you have to press on the button and to help you to reset it and reset your mind straight. That's really what it is. If your mind has not been straight, okay, how can I put it back straight? And if it's not straight, then again, you that ship, and you're going to slowly go down. And that's when you start to talk to yourself in a negative manner. And that doesn't serve no one. That doesn't serve you as a chef. And that surely doesn't serve anyone else within your team.
I love that. So can you give us a little bit more context around the whole idea of mental toughness and overcoming and resetting? And not just that, is how to make better decisions in the process. Because if you're not 100%, if you're not mentally tough, if you don't feel the right way and you don't feel like you have the support system, we don't make great decisions. So how is that correlation between the mental toughness and decision-making in our industry?
Yes, and actually I'm even going to push it slightly further. The physical part, if you're physically 20 pounds overweight, there are going to be certain decisions that you are going to make that you will not make if you were 20 pounds lighter. If you're emotionally exhausted, there are certain decisions that you're going to do that you would have not done if you were not emotionally exhausted. If you are psychologically drained and overwhelmed, there are decisions that you're going to make, then if you were not, you will not make. When you mix or you combine all of these, this is where the mental toughness comes in, right? Until you have the physical part. So now, if all of these, you slightly overweight, you're emotionally drained, and psychologically overwhelmed, then your mental toughness is here. It's, you're not really tough. I don't want to say that you're not tough at all, because like I said earlier, if you're in the restaurant industry, you are somewhat mentally tough, at least the minimum. But you're so honestly low in energy in all aspects that your decision, I don't want to say they're not correct, because you can, you know, here and there, maybe it's it's good, but most of the time, it's just not the best decision, because it's so high pressure. And because it's high pressure, you have to think quick. So you're going to come up with something, but is that something good for the moment? And it also, is it good for long term? And a lot of time, it may be good for right now. So if there is a fire, technically, you're able to stop it, slightly stop it right now. But long term, maybe you've missed a spot, and then it's going to, the fire is going to come again. And then long term, it's not good. So when you're able to utilize that mental toughness, and really work on it and making it better and better. So then that means that physically you're gonna get better, emotionally you're gonna get better, psychologically you're gonna get better. And then that's gonna go in and turn out into having way better decisions, not only short-term, but also long-term, because these are important. Because you have to be able, like, the vision is not only for one day, your vision, it can be for 2 years from now, for 3 years from now. And if you're not in a good position right now as a chef, then yes, your next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe you're not even able to see them because of all of the complexity, you know, that is there, like a big cloud.
So powerful, so powerful. So talk to our listeners a little bit, how you help your clients develop that resilience and that mental toughness from bouncing back from a failure or setback.
Okay, so as a chef, and if you're not a chef, but you're still in the restaurant industry, the first thing is honestly to learn to know yourself. You want to learn to know who you are. That's why that trunk exercise with that tree is so powerful, because you have to be able to know, okay, this is who I am as a person. And from there, you are able to, again, make better decisions. But when those setbacks or those situations that are unexpected maybe arrive, then you can bounce back better, because you know who you are, right? But once you don't know, again, if you're so much into, how I can say, into the fire, literally, because it's nonstop with the pressure, and it's like nonstop, you don't even take time to think, really, like to think about yourself. And then if you don't take time to think about yourself, you're not really going to be resilient. You're not really going to know how to move forward. And you're going to remain really in this dwelling state. And like you've mentioned earlier, Christian, you go home and you're like, oh my gosh, I sucked again. I wasn't able to do this. Oh my gosh. And then you really really stay in this state, but you have to be able to be slightly confident. And I say slightly, but a lot, about yourself and understanding, no, this is who I am. And I am able to show up on a daily basis. I am able to cook great dishes, and I am able to do this. Those are the people around me. They may or may not be on the same understanding, right? But no, I am able to do that. And I think sometimes with chef, this is the thing, because sometimes people, I don't want to say they don't pay them attention, because they do pay them attention. Obviously, they are important, but because it's easy to get on them and they don't move fast enough and this is not good and you returning food and all of this stuff. Sometimes there are an even higher higher level of pressure. So they can be more sensitive in that sense. Maybe not at the job, right? You're not going to see them sob as they're cooking, you know?
Yep.
But once the job is done and they are on their own and they are attempting to cool off, then that's when you may see tears, you know? And then you may see the negativity and all of these things. So really to be able to help them understand their core values, that is so, so, so important.
I love that. And this is such a powerful conversation, and I can talk to you forever. And I hope our listeners know now why we need this more than ever, because we all need that someone who can see in us what we don't see in ourselves. And we all need somebody who we can tap on the shoulder and say, hey, listen, what I know about you and what I learned from you, can you help me? And it's totally okay. I think there's a lot of power in raising your hands. I need help here. And I know in our industry, it's not common to do that. And I always refer to our industry as like the military. You don't show no fear and you show no emotion. You just get it done. And it doesn't need to be. And I know I speak for Ms. Martine and for me here today. If you listen to this, we give you permission to say, I need help here, because there's a lot of power in that. And if you haven't done so, make sure you guys follow her and make sure she is on your quick call list, because we, everybody needs a little bit more from her. So with that, I know we can go on forever. So help our listeners to understand, how can they work with you? How can they get a hold of you? And where does your information live?
Yeah, so you know what, the fastest to call me, as funny as it sounds. So it's 210-410-4671. So 210-410-4671, San Antonio, yay, Texas. But that's the fastest. And then the second fastest on LinkedIn. So you can just go in and find me on LinkedIn.
Awesome.
But yeah.
And we will link all your information in the show notes below. So first off, I want to say thank you for the gift of your time. Thanks for sharing your knowledge with our tribe here and with the chefs, which need so much of what you said. And for me, I have 2.5 pages of notes, and I will need to read right because some of them I scribbled down. I will have to re-listen to this myself. And I would like to invite you to come back. We need to do a 2.0 of this, because as people listen to this and we get some feedback, I want to provide some little bit more context to our listeners, because what you said today was super, super powerful. And we need more like you. I sincerely mean it, not just in the industry. I think we all need somebody on speed dial like you. So with that, if you haven't done so as listeners, make sure you follow her on LinkedIn. I will link her phone number in the show notes. And if you haven't done so, please join our private club, which is the disruptivechef.club. You get a front row seat of all the things we do. We have some new materials we send to you guys first before it gets to anywhere else. When we make changes to our show, we consult you guys, because you bought off our feedback loop to make this show better and provide more value to the industry. So with that, I want to say thank you, Ms. Martine. Any final notes or a tip or trick somebody can do right now to feel a little bit more tough, mentally tough tomorrow?
Right now is that trick to really go in and quickly, you can just do it on the napkin. Put that trunk, put those 1-3 core values that represent you, and then a few branches, and write down how you feel that you, how you can work on that core value this week or this upcoming week.
Awesome. So we really appreciate you. Thanks again for the gift of your time. Thanks for sharing so freely of your experience with our listeners. And to our listeners, if you haven't done so, make sure you run, not just walk, run to LinkedIn. Make sure you follow her. Make sure you consume her content. She's absolutely amazing. She will be back for a 2.0 of this conversation. But until next time, remember to disrupt your kitchen, fire up your career, stay hungry for change. I'm Christian, your disruptive chef entrepreneur host. I'm signing off. So be the change, be the challenge, and be the chef who sets the world on fire. So go out there and stay disruptive, everybody. Ms. Martine, thanks for being here today.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.